Global Shuffle.
All right, we're going to go ahead and call to order the trails at Schertz Canyon Public Infrastructure District. Today is February 11th, 2026. It is 10:04 a.m. I'm Michael Jensen with Snow Jensen and Reese. So for our call to order, if you guys could state your name for the recording and record, we'll start with the board. Jace, your chair, you want to start?
Jason Mann.
Dean Howard.
Nick Ribbendelli.
Shelby Clymer with CLA, District Accountant.
Hey, Tommy, you're up.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, Tommy Mann. Sorry, I didn't know if you want me to hop in there or not.
Yep, because you're on the call, you get to say your name.
Copy that.
All right, that's everyone I show on the call. We do have Christy Barker back at the anchor location. Christy, do we have any members of the public?
No.
Okay. So, board, first up, board meeting minutes from our December 3rd meeting. Did you guys get a chance to review those? Do they look accurate?
Yes, I move we approve.
Thanks, Jace.
Second that.
Thanks, Ray. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right, that's unanimous. All right, Shelby.
Okay. All right, so board, first thing we have is the quarterly expenditures payment listing. So this is all payments made from October 1 through December 31. So we can see the listing here. Just a couple notes: there were some final bond issue costs that were paid out in fourth quarter, and then there's also a interest payment on the A2 assessment bonds that occurred on 12/1. So total amounts here: $432,045.24. Any questions or discussion on this?
On the bondholder payment, is that something that we'll just do yearly or is that a quarterly payment?
Yeah, good question. So the property tax bonds have an annual payment on March 1st of every year. The assessment bonds have two payments per year, June 1 and December 1.
Okay.
All right. If no questions, can we get a motion to approve?
Was the UM Bank, that's just a one-time cost?
Yes, so this was their initial fee related to the bond issuance. That also covers, I believe, their first year of cost through 2026. And then they'll have an annual fee beginning in 2027 for their role as the paying agent and trustee.
And then on the two items for Schertz Canyon OZ, the 14,000 and 76,000, those funds were leased back to Schertz Canyon OZ that were overages. Is that what it was?
So I
The
believe
14,500, yeah, the 14,500, I think you can correct me if I'm wrong, Shelby, but the 14,500 was the balance of the appraisal and the market review study that we paid to CB Richard Ellis. And so initially, I think we cut them a $5,000 check or maybe 5,500. I think it was about 20,000. And so we were allowed to get reimbursed for that. So that was the reimbursement that went back to Schertz OZ. And then the 76,817 was I think we had bond issuance overages. And that was sitting, it had to season for 6 months with the trustee. And then that was eligible for either project costs or for distribution. And that's the last requisition form that we did.
So I'll check FIB, but that money should have come back into Schertz Canyon OZ banking account.
And it did. Yeah. So you'll see that come back. So, and that's what we went over, I think, back in November. So I can send you that again if you want. But yeah,
No,
Morgan did send
I'll
that.
look. I just want to make sure I understand.
Yep.
I don't have any questions unless Ryan or Nick has questions or Tom.
Okay. Could I get a motion, Jace, to approve?
I move we approve.
Thanks.
Second like that.
Thanks, Rye. All those in favor say aye.
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 Hey,
All right.
thanks all. Next, we have the unaudited year-end financial statements for the district. So starting with the balance sheet for all funds of the district, total assets at the end of the year, just over 10.8 million. About 120,000 was in the capital projects fund. However, I would note the majority of that is actually the working capital fund that I want to talk a little bit more about here in a minute. Just under 9.6 million is in the 2025 A2 debt service fund. Those are the assessment bonds. So the reserve fund and capitalized interest are restricted to those bonds. And then the 7.9 million represents the amount of assessments to pay down that principal of those bonds to be collected over time. Just under $1.1 million is in the 2025 A1 and B debt service fund. This is the property tax bond. So again, these funds are restricted to those bonds. And then about $50,000 in the general fund, which also includes funds in the working capital fund. So one comment I did just want to make while we're all together here today, and I did send an email about it as well. These funds were set aside at bond closing with the intent to cover the administrative costs for the first few years until there's sufficient revenues coming in from property tax revenues. And so I just wanted to kind of remind everybody that this is here. There's been some expenditures paid directly by the developer. So there's a requisition form for this. We're happy to help with that if needed. I know Michael and Christy would be as well. So again, just kind of wanted to bring that up and happy to discuss that further if needed.
Yeah, so I know that we had cut, like, I think checks to CLA or there were some invoices there, I think, that we cut directly. So those are just things that we can reconcile with our bookkeeper and then request like a requisition reimbursement for any costs, correct, that we've incurred in 2020 and year to date? Okay.
Yep, you can. Yep.
Shelby, on that capital fund, 2025 A1, we explain the difference between the 120 and the, I guess I understand the general, but what's the 120 again, 120,000?
Yes, so this here in total, 170,000. So this is the total balance in that working capital fund right now. The presentation is a little goofy because of fund balance limitations within a district's general fund, which is driven by its state statutes. And so we transfer from capital projects to general fund over time so that we're not exceeding that fund balance limitation. So just kind of a...
The 120, is that a set aside for our future costs or is that...
This is set aside for, yeah, for future administrative costs.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. So it is confusing, Jason, because they call it capital, right? So you think we can use it for construction. It should be the way that the state should make us call it is like the administration fund or something where we know it's associated with the ongoing administrative costs of the district. So and I get why it's
confusing. Administrative costs outside of ourselves as Schertz Canyon?
Yeah, it would be to pay for Shelby, for us, the insurance, and the audit. That's really the four things that's for.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. I don't have any further questions.
Okay, let me just go to the budget to actual pages here really quickly. So first is the general fund. Interest income was recognized on those funds sitting with UMB in that working capital account. Expenses, just about $13,000. Again, costs in that first year typically lower, and then budget for next year is about $50,000, which we anticipate to be kind of the neighborhood for full year of administration moving forward. And then here we have developer advances that were received and paid directly to vendors for about $4,900, and then transfers in just represents that working capital fund portion from the capital projects.
And then so, I'm sorry, just roll back up there for just... For the expenditures, so I know that you said obviously that first year is a little lower, 13,000. So the 170 that we're represented above, so you anticipate that our yearly budget for CLA or for Snow Jensen Reese or whoever we have involved audits, what they're like you had mentioned, you think it's estimated about 50,000 per year.
Mm-hmm. Yep, with accounting, legal and management, as well as insurance and then auditing, we estimate, yeah, about 50,000 per year. The forecast that we did when these bonds were issued, we usually increase that 2% per year. And that represents the future carve out from the property tax revenues. So again, the 170,000 that's in that working capital fund would cover 26, you know, 27 and likely even into 2028. I'd have to double check there's probably timing when that working capital fund would get closed out, if not used.
Makes sense.
The matter of concern, why did we not have any actual insurance costs?
I think this is actually on our to-do list, Jason. I would imagine that it was paid by the developer. So we just need to kind of reach back out to the team and make sure that any costs there are recognized before we get this to the audit.
Tom, will you put that on your notes, please?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jason, we did have insurance costs. So,
yeah, and like I said, that's just for the PID. Obviously, this is not related to the project.
Yeah,
I just want to make sure we're covered properly. And one, that's paid, so we have coverage. And two, is it the right coverage now that
I think I might have a copy of it too. So we did pay it.
Next page here is the 2025 A1 and B debt service funding, and this is the property tax bonds. Activity here was just interest income. There was no bond interest, just based on the timing of when these bonds were issued after setting the budget. Again, that's an annual payment on March 1st, so that payment will be coming up here in a couple weeks. And then transfers from other funds of the $1,075,000 represents the surplus fund and the capitalized interest funded from bond proceeds.
And so that $23,000 that we get in interest, that's what they had talked about, that we eventually just can, we can convert to project funds, or?
So interest earned on the bond funds are typically reinvested and still restricted to debt service. I'd have to double check the indenture, Ryan. Sometimes, you know, interest earned on the capitalized interest can be released to the project funds and would be eligible for additional reimbursements or project costs. So I'll follow up with you on that.
Initially, when I talked to Ben, she was saying that we could convert interest mm-hmm. made on what
could is. Could we also roll it and just keep accumulating it?
We absolutely could. Yeah. I mean, I think that's how Ben had explained it to me, but Shelby, if you want to just clarify that and get back to us.
Yep. I'll clarify. So as an example, if there's a reserve fund for the bonds or a surplus fund for the bonds, those will earn interest. Those remain restricted to the bonds. And so would just, you know, offset kind of the debt payments in that year with any of the property tax or assessment revenues received. It's just capitalized interest that I'll double check, because sometimes that does get released to the construction fund.
And depending on how the project absorbs or sells through, obviously, if the taxes begin to kind of catch up with the reserves or kind of surpass it, how does that typically work when you have excess, let's just say, and once the revenue is created, if we're at a faster speed, the reserves start to come back to us, or how does that typically work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good question. So with the property tax bonds, typically what would happen is, let's say we're, you know, getting to the final year of maturity on the bonds, the district would just lower its debt service mill levy so that the district isn't over collecting what needs to be paid in that final year. For the assessment bonds, that looks a little bit different. Funds on hand, whether through interest earnings or, you know, just kind of what's been collected, all goes into the calculation of what gets billed to the property owners for the assessments. So that's a little bit more complex, and actually something else that I kind of wanted to circle back around with you guys is just talking more broadly with that, with the assessments and that process. So ultimately, at the end of the day, there really shouldn't be any excess, because it's just included in kind of the year-over-year calculations of what revenues are needed.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
That makes sense, yeah. And then I know, obviously, if we were to lower mill levies, like if, you know, the revenues started to take, I guess, better speed than kind of what's anticipated. I know, like on year five, when we do kind of exits, they had talked about doing, we talked to Benj about kind of like a reissuance, and then that mm-hmm. it's a developer. So is that something that is just in the ordinance at year five? Is that correct? Or
mm-hmm. Yep. So bonds are callable after that 5-year period. And so would be eligible to be refinanced at that time if market conditions and economic conditions make sense. And then at that point, you know, finance team can kind of, you know, relook at what that mill levy should be and all those factors.
Okay, perfect.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, next fund really quickly. This is the A2 debt service. So these are the assessment bonds. Here we had interest income. We talked about that debt service payment that was made on 12-1 for interest. And then the transfers in, again, represents the reserve fund and capitalized interest that was funded from the bond proceeds. Then lastly, here's the capital projects fund. So had small amount of interest income that was earned while funds were still sitting at UMB. The bond issue cost, that included the cost to all the providers that kind of worked with you through issuing the bonds. And then capital outlay, this represents payments that were made, reimbursements made back to the developer for those project costs. So just under $9.8 million there. And then in this section here, we've got the two bond issuance proceeds for the property tax bonds and the assessment bonds, and then those transfers out that I noted on the other pages. Any other questions or discussion?
May not be a question for you, but I did have a question as we start to sell to consumers. I know that obviously how the PID is going to be collected with the 6 mils that we did on the tax assessment bond. Obviously, that is just going to go through Iron County and Treasurer. And then there's nothing necessarily that we need to do as a developer. I mean, it just kind of, I guess, is on autopilot as far as we're concerned. There's nothing we need to do, correct?
Yeah, and Michael can probably speak to this a little bit more, but they're typically working with the counties each year, making sure that things are ready to go. The certification deadline for that mill levy or tax rate is June 22nd. So Michael will work with the tax commission in the county and make sure that that information is provided for those 6 mils. And then it's just kind of an annual process of, yep, no changes to that. And then kind of on autopilot from there. Michael, do you have anything you'd add to that?
Yeah, so the way that they do it in Utah, so the county assessors on January 1st at 12 noon, so weird in the code they do it, but they take a picture of everything that's been developed, and that's what the assessed valuation is based on, is that one time. So the county assessor has till May 22nd to compile all the information and get it to the county auditor. So then on the 22nd of May, the county auditor goes through and will go in the system. So what I do between that May 22nd and June 22nd is I go in, review what the county auditor has done, and then I go into the state's tax commission's website and I approve it. I typically will talk to the guy who sets all the rates and just make sure that all of the districts that impose the mill levies, that they're all taken care of.
Okay. So, I mean, that's kind of what I was, I guess why I was asking is because my concern is I know that Iron County kind of taxes on a yearly basis. So there's no look back period. So let's just say like we close 10 homes between July and the end of the year. So they're not, obviously there should be revenue there because there's homeowners living there and they should be paying the 6 mils through the PID. They won't start paying until they look
the
at it
following
the next year.
Yeah.
Okay. They'll kind of get a free look, if you will.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. That's what I was wondering. Okay.
And Ryan, that's how it was forecasted too when we did the issuances. We always lag those property taxes by a year based on the development and when the values of that would actually hit the tax rolls. So that's anticipated in kind of how these bonds were priced out.
How the model works. Okay. Makes sense.
Yep.
Okay, I guess explaining to consumers, because obviously we have that PID disclosure, and so just explaining to them, I guess, you know, how it will look, you know, because we're going to get obviously phone calls probably in January or whatever, the new, I guess in May or June when they get this new bill and, you know, they're paying 6 mils higher, they're going to say, why did my tax go up? And so just the anticipation to the, I guess, to the retail client is important.
Yeah, and you'll get those calls probably next year when the... Trying to think of when the bills go out. November.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say end of October, 1st of November. That's when you'll get people questioning.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, as long as we can kind of set it up and anticipate and explain it to them, because it has been questions. And I was that we actually had it last week on one. So I was curious as to how, if it was immediate. And obviously, if we, you know, whenever we're working with the mortgage company to assess that, or, you know, obviously qualify them, you know, or escrow reserve accounts and stuff like that. It's just important that obviously we can have a clear explanation to them.
Mm-hmm.
So remember the first time the property gets sold, there should be that notice that's given to those individuals when they buy the house, right? Or buy the property. After that, there's really no requirement to do the notice to anybody else. I think it would be a good idea if they did it. We've tried to get it on the RESPA, but for whatever reason, the real estate agents don't want it on. So.
And we have it. I think it's just like when someone actually does read it, like we had a realtor that's buying a house up there and, you know, she had questions like, you know, I went to Iron County. I can't find kind of this mill levy. You know, how much is it? How does it work? And so. Obviously, that's why I was wanted to be able to clearly explain it to them as
well,
to when they can kind of see that mill levy kind of change when they get
To be honest, what's What's interesting is most of the county treasurers don't understand them. And so we'll get calls. Matt and I have done presentations to the county treasurers to explain it to them. They still don't understand them. So it'll be something that'll be ongoing for the first few years to get everybody up to speed on it.
Okay. Well, obviously we'll work close in hand with you to make sure that everyone is, when you do have that meeting in May, to make sure that we're getting the right list to you and making sure everybody is.
Yep.
Has assessed tax assessment properly. Okay. Thank you. Sorry about that.
No, good questions.
Yeah. Okay. Any other questions on the financials? Okay.
No.
Okay. What I need then is a motion to approve the financials.
I move we approve the 2026 financials.
I second that. Geez.
Thanks, Ry. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right. Let me throw up. So next up is going to be the interlocal. So again, Utah Local Governments Trust is a co-op. I would say the majority of mid to smaller governmental entities in Utah use them. And because so many use them, that's why they're able to drive down the costs. When we've done comparisons, if we were to go get commercial insurance, it would be at least twice as high as what we get through the trust. So because they're a co-op, and all of those governmental entities belong, they do it through this interlocal. So we had just been contracting all of the PIDs and IFDs have just contracted with them. This last year, they've asked everybody just to join, just to be a regular member. So again, no extra costs. It's just, we're going to do it like everybody else now.
You need a motion?
Yeah, to approve the interlocal.
One question on it real quick is, when we do join, what is required for us joining? Is that we're just joining the co-op to get insurance, or
yeah,
is it something we have to participate in yearly or quarterly?
No. How we're going to do it is Matt or Tyler will be the ones appointed to represent the district. And that's simply because eventually the board's going to turn over to be a public board, an elected board, right, from the residents who join. So just to keep consistency on the board and who represents the district, that's why it's either going to be Matt or Tyler.
Okay. And then what does insurance cover? Like what do we... Insurance.
So there's a liability, a general liability policy for the district. And then the district also, you guys have officers and directors and then errors and omissions. And then we do the crime policy. So we used to have a treasurer's bond on Caleb that was required. And that was based on the amount of the bonds, where now they're going to a crime policy, which is like a treasurer's bond where it covers the whole board. And what that would be is if anybody does something, embezzles, does something with the money, then the district's covered. So the crime policy now covers the whole board. We used to just only have Caleb that was covered. And the crime policy is based on the budget. So like for us, because you guys have spent down the majority, if not all, of the capital projects, the crime policy premium is going to be pretty low.
Yeah, because it almost doesn't apply, right? At that
right.
point, it's not like we're getting it and we have raw land and we bought the infrastructure up front and got reimbursed.
Yeah. And we still have the debt service fund, but it is virtually impossible for somebody to get in. Right. Because you're going to have us, you'll have Shelby, you've got the trustee, everybody's got to sign off on getting to those funds. And those are the hardest ones to get to, is the debt service fund. So, yeah, it'd be basically impossible.
Thank you for explaining that.
Okay. Can I get a motion to approve?
I move we approve.
Thanks, Jason.
I second that.
Thanks, Ray. All those in favor say aye.
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 All right. That's everything on the agenda. I'm going to send you guys the quarterly report to get done. So just fill in what we can. On assessment, Shelby, do you have any info on that? And is that something you wanted to talk about?
It is something I wanted to talk about, and probably worth outside the board meeting, just kind of talk through that a little bit more.
Let's when we adjourn, everybody stay on for a minute. Okay, if there's nothing else, take a motion to adjourn.
Move, we adjourn.
Thanks, Jace.
I second
You
that.
said you need me to stay on,
Thanks, right.
or
Yeah, we'll stop the recording in just a sec. So all those in favor say aye.
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 All right, that's unanimous.